on a mission trip in Peru, and I don't know if any of you have ever been in a foreign country on a mission trip, or maybe just visiting a foreign country. You understand how exhausting it is to be surrounded by people who you don't understand what they're saying. You spend all day leaning forward and concentrating and trying to pick up the threads of conversations in a way, and you're just, by the end of the day, you're exhausted. Add to that, it's 140 degrees, I guess, outside. I don't know. We didn't have a thermometer, but you could cut the air and stack it in chunks. It was that humid and that hot. And by the time sun fell there, which was always 6 o'clock, we're down pretty close to the equator there, always 6 o'clock, sundown, I'm done. I finish supper and I go to bed and I lay down and I am ready to go to sleep for the night and get up and start again the next day. And I've been laying in my bed for about half an hour when there's this pounding on my door. And this voice outside said, "Pastor Bush, Pastor Bush." They never did get Bruce to come out of there. I was always Pastor Bush in Peru. And so I go to the door, and there are all the local pastors from the area are there at this. And they said, "We need to pray." I said, "Oh, certainly, come on in." I said, "No, not now. We're meeting together tomorrow morning." I said, "Okay, what time?" They looked at each other for a minute and they said, 5 o'clock. I said, 5. Yes, you understand English, right? Cinco, 5. Cinco hora, a la mañana, 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yes, Pastor. Okay, I'll be there. Now, I've already demonstrated what a fine morning person I am here today, right? But I set my little travel alarm to get up so I can be ready to go down and join the pastors in prayer at the chapel at 5 o'clock in the morning. I get up and I try to get dressed in the dark because I'm sharing room with several other people, and I'm using my and I take off out of the building. And that's when the reality dawns on me that in this little village they only have electricity when the generator is running. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, the street lights are not on. It's still dark outside. And I'm walking through the streets of this strange village in the dark. And I'm about halfway there when I realize you're not carrying your passport. And we had been warned over and over again, don't ever leave your room without your passport. And so I'm halfway there and I go, now do I turn around and go back? I'm in between here. What, do I go forward? Do I go back? And I decide to go forward. And sure enough, I round the next corner and there's about three Peruvian young men with machine guns there sitting on the back tailgate. Now this is just part of life in Peru. But I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get arrested at 5 o'clock in the morning. Finally, they took no real notice of me, and I made my way to the chapel, and there's nobody there. Now, this is in one of my early mission trips to Central America, back when I thought 5 o'clock meant 5 o'clock. And in that culture, it just simply doesn't. 5 o'clock means the same thing as 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. It means whenever we get there is what it means. But I'm walking up to the place where have set up our medical clinic. It's still dark outside. It's a little bit before 5 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly, as my eyes are adjusting in the dark, I realize there are people lined up waiting for the medical clinic that's going to open at 9. They are lined up halfway around the town's soccer field waiting for the medical clinic to open up. There must be, I don't know, hundreds of them lined up waiting to get in that clinic. So I did pray. I prayed that God would forgive those other pastors for not showing up. I prayed, you know, for the people that were waiting. I prayed. And then as breakfast time rolled around, I gave thanks for the food I was getting ready. And I went to breakfast and I came back and we opened up the clinic. And about an hour later, there's this sort of commotion. And because I don't speak a lot of Spanish and I'm not a doctor, I've kind of been left on my own. And so I go out to see what the commotion is. And out in the courtyard, there's this big argument going on, and I find a translator, and I said, what are they? Well, these people don't understand. They've been waiting all night to see a doctor, and they don't understand why this man got to walk right up to the front of the line and go in. I said, well, I don't blame him. I don't get it either. He said, oh, well, this man's an elder in the church. He said, he doesn't have to stand in line. We're going to take him straight in to see the doctor. I said, no. No. No, 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 we're not either. Now, no translates pretty well into Spanish. It's the same word. And I found the pastor of the little church and said, what, are you telling your people that they don't have to wait in line with the other people? He says, oh, yes. He said, we have to take care of God's people. I said, well, yes, we do, but there they are. They're lined up all the way around the soccer field. I said, Pastor, listen to me. You have an opportunity to show this community the love of Christ. And what you're displaying to them instead is the favoritism. You have an opportunity to be servants in this community, and instead you're claiming privilege. Jesus said, you're going to tell me we need to set up the Jesus of Nazareth healing clinic here in your town so that I can take care of you folks. He said, but I've got news for you. The gospel goes beyond these walls. The gospel goes out there to the people who don't have a clue yet about God's love and God's grace. See, oftentimes the gospel gets told like this, whether we mean to or not. This is what people hear. The good news is that God loves his children. The bad news is you're not one of them. And that's not the gospel of Jesus. No, you've misunderstood, he says. Yes, the kingdom is now. Yes, the kingdom is at hand. But it doesn't reside in here. It's out there. Well, they take offense. In fact, they begin to argue with one another. What are they going to do with this man, Jesus? Obviously, he's out of his head. Who does he think he is? Anyway, I used to change his diapers. They decide they're going to take him to the edge of town and stone him. And so they start up the hillside with Jesus in tow. And the customary way of doing this thing was to throw him off a cliff. And if that didn't do it, you'd drop a few rocks on him. And that's what they were getting ready to do. And then, and this is not exactly what the scripture says, but I've been living and serving with God's people most all of my life, and I have a pretty clear idea what happened on the way up the hill. They paused to have a committee meeting. You know, we got a problem here with this Jesus, somebody said. He says, yeah, you know what, I think we ought to do, we probably just ought to run him on to the next town. And somebody else says, well, you know, he makes a valid point. If you read the scripture, shut up. Would you shut up? You're always taking his side. Would you shut up? Well, I make a motion that we... And finally, by the time the committee meeting is over and they have agreed together that they're going to stone the man and they make it to the top of the hill, they get to looking around and he's not there. Because at some point halfway up the hill, while they were walking and talking, he just stopped. They kept going. And here, I can see this plain as day. Jesus is standing there and just turns and walks away. And they get to the top of the hill and they have no idea where Jesus is. Do you know where he was? Do you know where he went? Just exactly where he told him he was going to go all along. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for I have come to proclaim the good news to the poor. to set free the oppressed, to give sight to the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what he said he was there to do, and that's what he did. That's where he went. I wonder sometimes if that's not kind of how the world still is. If, you know, sometimes the church is on top of the hill scratching their head trying to figure out where Jesus went. And hoping maybe he'll come back soon. When all along he's right where he told us he would always be. I don't know what will finally happen in the years to come, how the church will choose to embrace Mother Teresa, whether she'll ever actually become a saint or just kind of a folk legend or whatever. But you, certainly you've all read of her work in Calcutta and how she insisted that everyone that she spoke to, I do this because I see Jesus in the eyes of the poor. I see Jesus in the eyes of the outcast, when I am with them, seeing to their needs, I find Jesus. Or maybe you think she's an outlier. Listen to what Jesus said. He told a story. You remember the story he told about the final judgment, when the man on the throne was going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he says to the folks on the one hand, he says, you know, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, and I was lonely and afraid, and nobody came to see me. Oh, Lord, we didn't know. Where were you? And he turned to the others, and he said, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Lord, we had no idea. When did that happen? They're all surprised. But they're only surprised because they didn't listen. He always told us where he'd be. For in as much as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it for me. Where do we find Jesus? Here's the good news. You don't have to wait till you die. And you don't have to wait for the dawn of some marvelous golden messianic age. He's here now. Here's the news we don't always want to hear. You might have to leave the building to find him. You might have to go and find that person who is in need, who's hurting, who needs to be set free, who needs to see again, who needs to be fed, clothed, comforted. But it turns out he's where he always told us he'd be. With those who need him the most. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say,